If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to our scripture reading this morning. Our scripture reading is found in the book of Romans, chapter 12, and verses 1 to 8. This is Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. And hear now the word of God. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. And if a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is the leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, then let him do it cheerfully. And may God add to understanding this portion from his holy word. You know, this morning as we were crossing Doggett Mountain at about 8:30 this morning, temperature was about 48 degrees, I started thinking about all those motorcycle clubs that were going to drive through Spring Creek on this Memorial Day weekend and the struggles that they're having and just in trying to stay on their bikes in the rain, but not exactly one of the perfect days. I'm sure all of us have memories, remember Memorial Days in the past and how special they are. Things like picnics and parades and good times together as God's people. But you know, the truth of the matter is Memorial Day is a very different kind of a holiday. We call it a holiday, and holiday is short for holy day. And in one sense, it is holy because unlike any other holiday that we have, this one is not about celebration. This one is about remembering. That's why it's called Memorial Day. We memorialize those individuals that have paid a particular price for their love for this country. I remember several years ago when Annie and I were in Charlotte area, and I was asked to give a small eulogy, a small speech and prayer at a Memorial Day service near Concord, North Carolina. And while we were there, there was a pastor that I knew from Presbytery who was in the group. And during the service, after I did what I was supposed to do, another gentleman stood up and he recognized this pastor. His name was Mark McClamrick. And Mark stood up and they acknowledged the fact that his son, Jamie, had been killed in Iraq just several months before. You know, I'd heard that, but somehow I didn't associate it with that individual. And I looked at this fine gentleman who was standing there and watched his face. His son, Jamie, had been part of a battalion, a group of men that were trying to protect the Iraqi citizens when a man dressed in an Iraqi uniform came up and opened fire and killed 7 American soldiers just standing there trying to protect the Iraqi citizens. And unfortunately, Jamie was one of those individuals. After the service was over, I went over to Mark McClamrock and shook his hand and told him how grieved I was that he had to go through that pain. And he said, you know, it's an interesting thing. He said, Jamie and his wife, he'd only been married less than 2 years. Jamie and his wife prayed about this when he was inducted. They prayed that the Lord would send him to a place where he could make the greatest difference. And when they found out that he was going to be sent to Iraq, Jamie's response was, well, I know God has a purpose for me there. And he said, I don't have any ill feeling. I know that Jamie was where he believed God wanted him to be. You know, I believe that Jamie had an understanding of what it means to not only give a blessing, but to receive one. You see, in this life, it's not what we have. It's not what we receive. It's what we're able to give, what we're able to share. And Jamie, when he went to Iraq, was willing to be what we might call a living sacrifice. You know, my feeling is that Paul gave a very similar challenge to those who were seeking to follow Jesus in this passage that we read this morning when he says this, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. You know, it's funny, when we look at this word sacrifice as far as what it really means, it's obvious that Paul was not speaking about sacrificing what we have. Many times we're willing to sacrifice out of our abundance. We're willing to give things and pass things on that we may not even really need, but we're willing to do without it, to sacrifice those things. But you know, the truth is, whether it's our money, whether it's our time, whether it's our possessions, whatever it is, none of those things are alive. They're not living. When he speaks about sacrificing and becoming a living sacrifice, he's talking about who we are, about our person. When we offer up our bodies for the Lord's service, that would be our talents, our abilities, our strengths. It might also be our plans, our desires, our goals, our identities, all of this that we're laying on the throne, that we're laying on the altar of the Lord and saying, take these. I'm sure that you've wondered, as I have at times, why somebody would go through college and then medical school and then become a doctor, a licensed physician, and then leave it all and go to Africa or go to South America and live with a bunch of natives in mud huts, when everybody around them is saying, why are you doing this? You could make a fortune. You could have a beautiful home. You could have a new car every year. You could do all this if you just stayed here in America. What would cause them to leave all that and go somewhere else just so that they could serve the Lord? You know, the truth is, God uses funnels, spiritual funnels in our lives. And in the beginning, we see the top of the funnel, and it's like, I can do anything. I can be anything. I can try hard, and I can reach any goal, whatever. And then a little bit later in life, well, I can't do that anymore or that anymore, but, you know, now I can do this. And the funnel keeps getting smaller and smaller, and we get funneled all the way down until, no, this is the only thing I can do. And I believe that God made it clear to those doctors, nurses, missionaries, this is what I have for you in your life. This is what I want for you. I want you to be a living sacrifice for me. Now, believe me, I've talked to more than one person that said, you know, I'm afraid to accept Christ because he might send me to Africa as a missionary. And my feeling is, if he did, that's the only place in the whole world where you would find peace and where you would be happy. See, Paul calls this true spiritual worship, when we're able to give our essence, all of our dreams, everything that we have, and place them in the Lord's hands and say, Lord, I trust you. I trust you with my being. I put it in your hands. Now lead me. Show me where you want me to be. But how are we supposed to do this? It's not an easy thing. Well, it's interesting that Paul says this. This is in verse 2 when he says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Well, what's he talking about there? He's talking about this. This is what the world says you should be. This is how the world defines success. This is how the world defines person. You see, that's a pattern, and it's a pattern that we are well trained for in our lives. And that is to conform to the world, to do what the world wants. That's how we move ahead. That's how we succeed in life. And Paul's saying it's exactly the opposite. Don't conform to this world. Don't let the world tell you who or what you should be. Instead, he says, be transformed. Don't be conformed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, what's a transformer do? A transformer converts power in one sense and ramps it up and sends it out the other way. And that's what he's talking about here spiritually. He's saying we place ourselves in the Lord's hands, and the Lord takes that and he multiplies it and he makes us into something. And I think about those individuals in the past that we have record of, people that we've heard about, people like D.L. Moody, one of my all-time favorites. Second grade education, a shoe salesman in Chicago. And he hears the street preacher say, the world has yet to see what God can do through a man totally surrendered to him. And D.L. Moody said, by God's grace, I'll be that man. And everybody looked at him. Second grade education, shoe salesman? Yeah, right. And he turned two continents upside down. God wasn't looking at his ability. He was looking at his availability. And he was willing to sacrifice himself, his dreams, that he might be used to the Lord. Paul calls it true spiritual worship. He was transformed by the renewing of his mind. Then he could look at all these options out there and say, that's not what God wants me to do. That's not what God wants me to do. You know, it hurts to look at some of these young musical artists who got their start in church, who were in church choirs or whatever, and they turned out they had a beautiful voice, and they were lured into the music world, and how over time their lives changed. And I'm just going to mention one name, and you know her. That's Britney Spears. Britney Spears was a member of her church, went faithfully. Her parents were members of the church. She sang in the choir. She was seduced. And instead of being a living sacrifice, she conformed to the pattern of this world. And you can just see what happened to her life as a result of that, how she just went downhill step by step by step, until now people are even doubting her sanity. What a tragedy. That's tragic. He says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you know what the will of God is. And he calls it here the perfect will, God's perfect will. Now, I know that there are a lot of people that talk about, well, you know, God has a perfect will and he has a permissive will. Let me tell you something. God's will is always perfect. It's always perfect. We're the ones that change it into permissive. It's not God. God always has a perfect will. And he says, this is the only way that we can approve, that we can test and approve what that will is by being transformed. So, you know, what hinders us from doing that? Well, certainly the pull of this world. You know, we watched a film. We showed a film on Friday night. And a number of you were able to come see it. It's called The Time Changer. And it had to do with this seminary professor from back in 1890 and how he was, through a series of events, was able to move forward into present day. And he was so surprised at the way Christians behaved and the way the church functioned. And all these things were totally new. And it was like, I don't understand why you're doing this. And some parts were funny. They were humorous. Like he goes with the church group to a movie. And in the movie, they apparently are using the Lord's name in vain. And he comes running out of the movie. Stop this movie. Stop it. This is terrible. You see, the pull of the world literally slowly has drained us. It's just taken us down in our spiritual commitment before the Lord. People are saying, don't throw your life away because of some religious belief. You're talented. You've got skills. Use those skills. Make a lot of money. Be all that you can be. You know, we tell our children that they're special. They're special, and they can be anything they want to be. You see, I think that we should tell them, you can be anything God wants you to be. You can be anything the Lord is preparing you to be. He's the one that gave you gifts. He's the one that has led you along certain paths, and you can be anything he wants you to be. And then as parents, we should pray, Lord, guide them into that path, into what you want for them. You know, Paul says himself, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. Look at that. That's in verse 3. He says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. You see, instead of thinking, I can do whatever I want and I will be a success, because I'm a hard worker and I'm intelligent and I'm gifted, and so I'm going to work hard and I can reach any goal I want to reach. Instead of doing that, we should be able to look at life and say, you know, Lord, I know that you've created me and you know better than I do what I'm best suited for. And so I'm not going to think more highly of myself. I'm going to get into that funnel and I'm going to let you move me into that area where you want me to be. When we think more highly of ourselves, you know, we lose sight of God's purpose. God has created each of us with a purpose. And we can lose sight of that and we can wander, sometimes for many years, until finally God brings us back to what it is he's had for us all along. See, Jesus challenged his disciples with this very thing. This is in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24, 26. It says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. He goes on to say, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? What was Jesus saying? He was saying, if you want to follow after me, if you want to know what life is really like, what it's about, well, then it's going to require sacrifice on your part. That's what denial of self is. It's not self-denial. Like, oh, I'm not going to do that and I'm not going to do that because I'm a Christian. That's not what he's talking about. He's saying, deny self. Deny my plans, my desires. He said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny themselves. And then take up their cross. the scorn of this world and identify with me. Walk in my steps. So, you know, in all of this, what's the goal? Have you ever asked yourself, what is my goal in life? Why did God put me on this earth? Do you think it was by accident? It was not. From the very beginning, God has had a purpose for you. He knows exactly what it is that he wants you to do. And when we have our greatest joy and our greatest peace, it's when we're in the middle of that. Our minds have been transformed, and now we can understand and test what the will of God is. And that helps us move into these areas where we will be productive and we will be satisfied in life. See, Paul talks about being in Christ. This is in verse 5 of our passage this morning. Verse 5 says this, "So in Christ we who are many form one body." Well, what does it mean to be in Christ? He uses the human body as an illustration to say, you know, there are many parts that are all working together to achieve God's purpose and God's plan. Just like the human body. All the different things have to work together, our mind and our heart and our hands and feet, and everything works together to make us who we are. And he's saying it's the same thing within the body of Christ. You see, we're called to be all that God has created us to be. All that he's created us to be as individuals. You know, when Paul was talking to the Ephesian Christians, he used this illustration. This is in Ephesians 3, verses 17 to 19, and he says this, "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." That was Paul's prayer for the Ephesians, and I believe it's his prayer for us too. That we can be filled up to all fullness. We can be everything that God has created us to be. You know, those missionaries that the world says are throwing their lives away on some small tribe in South America, they know a fullness of Christ, a fullness of purpose in life that all of us would hunger for. When those missionaries come back and they tell the stories of what's happened in those tribes and their faces are lit up like a candle, it's because their hearts are full of joy. What would we give to have that kind of joy? See, as individuals, God's created us for a purpose, and he wants us to be fulfilled and filled in that purpose. But how about as a church? Well, the church is an extension of that. The church has a purpose. We have a calling. Malvern Hills Presbyterian Church has a calling from God to be everything that he has called us to be. And he's working through individuals to build us up. I'm not talking about numbers. We don't have to have lots of numbers to be effective tools for God's kingdom. We have to be people of heart, people that are willing to sacrifice, people that are willing to be everything that God has called us to be. And not just this church. It's the church of Jesus Christ all over this world. And believe me, God is calling us to stand and be numbered. This world is becoming increasingly dark, increasingly wicked. And we need to be able to stand for our Lord and Savior. As individuals, as a church, but also as a nation. And here again, I believe that God has called us as a nation to stand firm on his truth. If you look at the way the United States came together, the events that took place that caused us to become a nation in the beginning? It's obviously by the hand of an almighty God. He has called us to this place for a purpose. We have to remember that we've been given certain freedoms, and those freedoms were provided by the blood of the fallen. This is Memorial Day, and we're memorializing those people that have given their lives so that we could be free. There are many people today that are raising their fist against this country. There are many who are using this country for their own means. God sees it all. And I believe that God is not finished with the United States of America, and he will not allow us to crumble as a nation. He'll continue to support us. And I believe that as residents, as people of this country, that we need to be able not only to remember, but to stand for what those individuals gave their lives for. Our spiritual freedom, the fact that we have the right to worship as God leads us. Men died for that. Jesus even said himself, John 15:13, no greater love has any man than this, that one would give up his life for his friends. Then we have our national freedom. We are a free people. But in order for us to remain free, we have to constantly reclaim our freedom. We have to stand. We have to remember those that paid the ultimate price for what it seems so many are willing to throw away. We want to honor them. We need to honor them. Those servicemen and women that have sacrificed their lives, who have sacrificed years of their life in order to protect us and to guarantee our freedom. We can never forget that. We can never let it go. We have to remember. We have to honor them. I honestly believe that there are many here in this country, even those in high positions of authority and power, who would not sacrifice their life for this country. We can't listen to them. We have to listen to those from the past who said, I love this country. And I ask the Lord to bless America, because we are the last stronghold of freedom in the world. We need to protect it. And thank the Lord for those men and women that paid the ultimate price so that we could be free. Let's bow as we pray. Our gracious Father, again, on this Memorial Day, we remember those in the trenches, those who have fought on beaches, those who have given their lives that we might have the freedoms that we enjoy today. And Lord, I pray that we could honor them from the heart and thank them from the heart. Lord, there's probably not one single family here today that hasn't experienced the loss of a loved one at some point in military duty. And Father, I pray and ask that you would help us and encourage us as these days progress, that we could stand firm on those principles that these people died for. And we thank you and praise you for this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
If you would, please stand and take your hymnal and turn to number 59, Abide With Me. We'll sing the first three verses now. We'll sing the fifth verse after the benediction. Please stand.
Thank you.
please bow for the benediction. And now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.